And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and Rock Cod Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're in the Mighty 1090 studios with the one and only Yanni from Fisherman'sBelly.com. He's cooking, man.
Oh, this is looking so good.
Yeah.
Yanni is just amazing at making things that are incredible, but making them simple, which is what somebody like me needs to have.
Yes.
You know, it's just crazy how easily he assembles these fantastic looking dishes.
Yeah, and look what he's got going here. It's as we say, we do have lines open if you want to get through. 858-457-1090. One line open there and one line open at 877-792-1090. You know, you can win a three-quarter day trip on the San Diego and go catch your own to test one of these recipes.
Yeah.
Right now, one lucky caller is going to win that three-quarter day trip. And so get through now. I have a question, a comment, want to make a fish report. There it is, 877-792-1098. So, Yanni, what the heck are you cooking here? We're all drooling here.
Oh,
Adam's looking at it. We better make one for Adam, too. So you don't want to forget our buddy Adam over there.
Smelling fantastic in the studio right now.
Oh, yeah, and my wife here, believe me, she already threatened me on the way in. You better have one for me.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I'm putting together my latest recipe, which I just put up last night, and I talked about earlier. And this is a crudo ceviche on tostadas.
Wow.
So this is raw fish.
Okay.
Placed in citrus juice, but only for a split second, and then put on the tostada. And along with my raw fish, I've got red onions, and I've got a pepper that's very similar to an Anaheim pepper. It's called the chilaca. It's got a lot of flavor. Yeah.
Mm. I noticed
they're dark green, and they look like Anaheim peppers.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot more flavor.
Wow. So, fantastic. So this recipe is at Fisherman's Belly right now. We'll have it on our Angler's Table site. On our website, letstalkhookup.com soon.
You bet.
But
as Yanni was mentioning, you kept the fish totally separate, and right now, just now, starting
just
to mix
now
it together.
Cooking.
Right. So I cut my onions, I cut my peppers, I put them in a Tupperware, and then I put my lemon or my lime juice in that, and then I kept my fresh fish separate on ice. And here at the studio right now, I just tossed in my raw fish with the peppers and the onions. And as I'm speaking, I'm mixing it, and right now I'm going to start putting them on tostadas.
So you don't, like, let it cook, like, in the lime juice like you would normally on a ceviche?
Correct. A normal ceviche, you put your fish in the citrus juice, and it physically cooks the fish. But
that's what makes the difference between a ceviche and a crudo?
And that's right. And a crudo is nothing but nothing more than raw fish.
Raw fish that's mixed
right.
with mixed and lightly, kind of lightly cooked, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Thing so cool about this is you could totally do this on the boat. You know, like you can mix up all your, you know, your ingredients beforehand, and then just
like Yanni did.
Yeah, exactly. Catch yourself a rad fish that's just right for it. Cut it, send it, and away you go.
That's right. That's right. You can. You can do this on
this.
The boat.
And now he's putting it. He's plating it onto the tostada.
Oh, by the way, there's a little bit of slivers of habanero in there.
Ooh,
I just love my heat.
Yeah. All right. And Adam's drooling on the other side of the glass there. Ricky, I don't know. We're going to get a mop here for Ricky.
Before I assemble them, and I didn't do this on the video, this is just a variation, I am actually dipping a brush inside my citrus juice, and I'm brushing one side of the tostada.
Okay.
And I'm taking my tagine.
Okay.
And I'm sprinkling it on the tostada.
Oh, okay.
And my recipe on my video, I've actually mixed the tagine in with the mixture.
What is tagine?
Tagine is a Mexican spice that's a combination of salt and chili and lime.
Oh, okay.
And this is available at most of your Mexican markets. It's also available on Amazon.com.
Okay. And if you go to the fishermansbelly.com and you click on it, you can buy it right off of your site.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've got Amazon's one of my big sponsors, and that just happened recently. I'm really happy about that.
That's cool.
So it's a great way to support us and what we're doing. If you use our Amazon links and you make your Amazon purchases after you click our links, then we get a small commission, and it helps support what we're
doing. Support
That's
Fisherman's
awesome.
Belly, which is really nice, which
yeah.
is a nice thing to do. So.
Right.
So, yeah, so you're painting the
citrus
juice on top.
The lime
juice
on top of the
And then you
the
sprinkle the tagine on top, and then you spoon up the mixture that you've made.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, go over what's in it. It's onions, it's pepper, it's a little sliver of habanero.
And the raw fish.
And the raw fish, and that's it.
And you're not telling us what the raw fish is. I can tell you it's kind of a white-looking fish, but he's going to let us guess what the fish is.
I'm going to let you guess as to what the fish is, and then I'm also going to let you guess as to whether you think this fish is fresh or if it's frozen. And if you think it's frozen, how long do you think it's been in the freezer?
Okay.
Because what I'm really trying to do is, here's one for Rick.
Hey.
What I'm really trying to do is help people figure out what to do with all that frozen fish. Here's a hint. All that frozen fish
okay.
sitting in there.
Oh.
In their
okay.
freezer.
Rick, all right.
Bring it
hey,
out.
You ready?
He's got to get a little salt on there for him.
Yeah.
Yep, a little salt.
Nice sea salt to go along with this.
All right. Very good.
Because
so.
That sea salt not only adds that salt that we all need, but it adds a nice crunch.
And this is a very simple preparation, too.
That's the thing that I think is so cool about it. I mean, you could definitely make this ahead of time, or, you know, if you're having guests come over, you can make all that ahead of time. Then when everybody's there, you can, you know, everybody can get down and throw the remaining ingredients
yeah, okay,
together.
I'm
going to
crunch now.
Going for it. And what do we think?
Mm.
So, again, just on my end, the smell and presentation looks awesome, Yanni. And that's what's so cool about this is you make a very cool-looking dish for everybody. Pete, what's the verdict?
Delicious.
All right. Well, as soon as you're done chewing, hurry up because I'm ready to chow down.
Go for it,
This
yeah.
looks so fantastic, Yanni. I'm really
okay,
excited.
Okay, I'm going to guess that it's frozen because you already hinted that.
Right.
All right.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to guess it's yellowtail.
What do you think about the freshness of the fish?
It tastes great. And it's raw. So it hasn't really been ceviche'd or anything like that. It's delicious.
Right.
And I love the mix that you put on with the spices and the onion and all the different peppers that you put on there. It's really fantastic.
Yeah.
And the tagine really adds a nice crispy flavor, but it's not hot. It's not overly hot.
And I'll say, again, I mean, solely because of the hinting towards it, had that not happened, there's no way I would have said that was frozen fish.
Yeah.
I would have said for sure it was fresh.
What do you think it is?
It's a white fish, and it's decent in size. I think your guess of yellowtail is fantastic. Just for the sake of being something different, I'm going to say it's mahi-mahi.
All right.
Okay, well, nice try, gentlemen, but that's actually wahoo.
Oh,
wahoo, okay.
And it's been sitting in my freezer for 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, it is fantastic. It's
yeah.
mild. It's really... It's great. This is such a cool one, Yanni.
Yeah,
and again, the thing I like about it is something that I can do. You know, I can be lame when it comes to being in the kitchen, and this looks fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Fishermansbelly.com or your YouTube channel, which is
Fisherman's Belly channel
on YouTube.
You bet.
Yeah, all right. Maria's taking one into Adam. Adam, you're going to love this. Well, this is really,
it's
really
good.
Yeah, it's really, really
what
good.
What really makes this is our local process.
Right to the mic there.
Our local processors do such a great job at vacuum packing fish.
Yeah.
And
Fisherman's
and
processing, I mean, it lasts a long time. And you can freeze something for days.
Yes.
Months, years.
Right.
And it's still good.
Right. And you know, if you're going to eat fish raw, like this dish actually is, you need to actually freeze your fish because of parasites.
Okay. Yes.
All right? The danger of parasites. And the way you overcome that danger is you freeze your fish.
Especially
at least
Wahoo.
For
Wahoo
days.
Does have parasites.
You bet.
Yeah.
And
so when you freeze it, at least 7 days, it kills all the parasites.
It kills all the parasites.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
I would have never thought you could eat raw frozen fish like that and have it taste as
wow.
yummy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So killer, Yanni.
Well, let's jump into the phones, Rick. These are very patient callers, very anxious to talk to Yanni.
You got it. They're very patient. How about this time we talk to Rick, and he's called us from Temecula this morning. Hi, Rick. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. And actually, my question ties in perfect to what you were just talking about with the frozen fish. And my question is, when you have your vacuum sealed fish, you know, processed or whatever, what is the best way to handle that when you're taking it out of the freezer, defrosting it, prepping it, and getting it ready to eat and have a meal?
Well, you know, there's a couple of ways. I came from the restaurant world, And the one way that we defrost any kind of meat quickly and safely, and that's the key, is safely, is we immerse that package of vacuum-packed fish into a tub of water, and we allow the faucet to trickle into that tub of water. And what that does is it creates a small little current in that tub of water that continually wraps around that fish. And what that does is it thaws it out evenly, and it thaws it. Generally, you can have a 1 or 2 pound package of fish, and it'll thaw in a half an hour if you want to do that quickly. Now, if you've got some planning and you think about it the night before, take your fish out of the freezer and put it in your refrigerator, and it usually takes, 12, 20 hours before it completely thaws out and it's cold. But it's always critical that you have an even thawing going on, and never, ever take your fish out and put it on the countertop overnight and allow it to thaw that way.
That's bacteria, right?
Because you'll have bacterial growth on the outside surface of the fish while the inside is still thawing. So that's bad news.
One thing that Sean from Fisherman's Processing taught us is when you take a frozen piece of vacuum-packed fish, is you take it out and wrap it in paper towels, put it on a plate.
Several layers,
and put it inside the refrigerator to thaw. What do you think of that idea?
No, that's perfect. And the reason that they mention that is industrial processors, when they vacuum pack fish, they can vacuum pack fish with moisture. And at home, if you've got a vacuum packing system, you've got to make sure that you dry your fish out before you vacuum pack it.
Yeah.
But the industrial processors, when they vacuum pack fish, there's moisture in there, and it doesn't ruin the seal. So taking the fish out when you want to thaw it out and wrapping it in paper towels gets rid of all that excessive moisture, and which is key, too. You don't want to have your fish sitting in your refrigerator in a vacuum pack that's full of moisture, because that'll start to degrade the fish.
Okay. Good hint. Hey, hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, with that, it's time to find out what's going on the water. It's time for your saltwater guide. Dave Hansen with our FishDope.com report. And with lobster season open, you need to make sure to get the best performing lobster gear on the market, and that's Promar. Based in SoCal, Promar products are designed by fishermen for fishermen, and they offer everything you need for a successful evening of lobster hooping, including the new Ambush XL, which is a 36-inch rigid hoop net, the largest allowed by law. Visit Promar on Facebook or on the web at promarnets.com. And let's talk to the man, your saltwater guide. Good morning, Dave.
Hey. Hey, good morning, Ricky. Good morning, Pete. Johnny, hey. How are you guys today?
Good.
Hey, good morning.
What a spectacular morning. It is absolutely gorgeous here in Dana Point. It's probably 65 already, flat, calm, sunny. Looks like it's going to be a great week to go fishing, guys. It's going to be all flat and calm, and the fish are all over the place again. Like we've been talking for the last, I don't know, year anyway. Fishing is phenomenal right now. They're still catching lots of yellowfin tuna down there on the three-quarter day and the overnight boats in San Diego. But the big thing, you know what I'm on, too, and Ricky, you know, those big bluefin are still biting outside of San Clemente Island. But like I told everybody, we are going to run out of people before we run out of fish. And that's the deal. We ran out of people. No one wants to go out there. I don't know why the giant bluefin are still biting. You see those two fish that Greg got on the Aztec the other day? 2 days before that wind blew?
300-pound fish are still available on a local trip from anywhere on our coast in Southern California. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's insane. And I was out there that day, and we didn't get lucky. We saw a lot of fish. We did not get a bite on the yummy, but we had our opportunity. We were there. We saw a phenomenal amount of fish. We ended up getting four of those smaller great bluefin. They're all over the backside of the island from 30 fathoms out to like 3 or 4 miles off the beach. There's giant breathing schools of that bluefin on the backside of San Clemente Island. The Navy's very, very busy over there at the island, though, so you got to pay very, very close attention to what's going on over there, guys, because there's a lot of guys that aren't paying attention when you get over to Clemente, and please pay attention. We don't want to lose that. We do not want to lose San Clemente Island because one guy thought he needed to be in the cove to catch a calico bass, so please pay attention. The Navy's making it super easy for you guys to know what's going on. All you got to do is log on to their website, sanclementeisland.org, and they tell you exactly what they're going to do every day.
No doubt. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
It's very simple. It's very easy. And please pay attention and keep your radio. If you can't figure out how to read the internet, because I know it's a newfangled thing, turn your radio on to channel 16. They'll be more than happy to let you know to get out of there.
And if you have any questions, just say cracking or cracking. Is it cracking or cracking?
Cracking.
Cracking. Cracking on this channel 16, and the guy from San Clemente Island, man on the radio, will answer your questions.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tell you exactly what's going on all day. Believe me, I call them all the time because sometimes they change the schedule.
Yep.
And you want to make sure you're not caught with the pants down in there.
Good call,
no
Dave.
Doubt about it, Dave. And, of course, fishdope.com. You can get that link right at fishdope.com and get all the information about what's going on at San Clemente or Catalina or Coronado's or offshore, everywhere on the coast. You know, they've got all the information on fishdope.com. They keep a track of it. Thanks to guys like Dave Hansen. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space. Hook up now is the code to save $20 at fishdope.com. And how do we find you, Dave?
Well, one more thing. I know Brian Woolley touched on it for a second, but Bo on the San Mateo got lucky, got out there and got found a pod of dolphins 17 miles from the harbor a couple days ago and caught really nice quality yellowfin. And that's right outside of Dana Point Harbor. So you guys can give me a call at 949-374-0786 or look me up on the web at yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
Talk to you next Sunday. Appreciate that very much. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the phone.
You got it. That's going to wrap up our catch report again, sponsored by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Fisherman's Processing is San Diego's finest, and that's why they're known as the fish pros, because once you try them, you'll be hooked. They're the ones that are going to allow you to have fish that are frozen in your freezer, just like this, and be able to bust out a killer raw fish presentation that is fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's because of the superior service that you can get at a quality processor like Fisherman's Processing. They'll fillet and vacuum pack your fish to your specs, as well as offer the best in smoked fish, jerky, and their famous tuna burger. Check fishermansprocessing.com for more details, or just see them when your trip returns to the San Diego land.
And I know Yanni will attest to this, too. When you go into Fisherman's Processing, unlike a lot of other processors, that place is immaculate. They keep that place clean. All the facility is basically new equipment. That's important, right, Yanni?
Super important. I mean, yeah. I learned that from the restaurant world. You know, if I walked into a restaurant and it was dirty, I'd walk out.
Yeah.
And the same with the processors.
If you can walk into a building whose job it is to do nothing but cut fish all day and it doesn't smell like fish,
yep.
You know you're in the right spot.
That's
you
spot.
Bet.
You bet.
Bet.
All right, let's jump into those phones, Rick.
You got it. Well, they are jam-packed. We got some very patient callers. We're going to jump right back into them and talk to Doug, who's calling us from Irvine this morning. Hi, Doug. Welcome to Let's Talk.
Hey, Doug.
For hanging in, Doug.
Thank you, gentlemen. I have a suggestion. I don't get on boats very often that have RSWs, but for preserving that bonita, I take a gallon milk jug, rinse it out real well, fill it 3/4 with water and freeze it, and then fill it the rest of the way and freeze the whole jug. And I take it in a 5-gallon bucket. When I catch a bonita, and I love bonita too, I slice it under the gills and put it in the bag, and when it stops wiggling, I put it in that bucket that I've added water to, and it keeps that fish really fresh. You can eat it for sashimi, no problem at all.
Created your own RSW, huh?
Yeah, well, a lot of boats don't have it. You go on a half-day boat,
right.
And a lot of them don't have RSW.
Sure.
This is a way around that to preserve your fish. And it really makes a difference.
That's
awesome. Super idea. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I'd like to interject. That's a great novel idea about the milk carton. I've been filling up bottles of plastic bottles of water with water and then freezing them and then bringing them on my
yes.
trips with me.
Yeah
that's what I do. I use a gallon milk jug.
Yeah.
And freeze that whole thing and. It really keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
I've got a suggestion for you. You know, with one of the things I do with my water bottles is once I gut and gill the fish on the boat, I'll stuff a water bottle right in that gut cavity.
Oh.
And that'll keep that fish nice and cold.
Like a small water bottle.
You bet.
Yeah, you could probably bring 2 or 3 small water bottles and just keep them in your gunny sack,
you know,
and just, you know, if you don't have the room for a 5-gallon bucket, I mean, anything to help keep that thing cool, the better. That's
right.
A great call.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. How about we jump right back up and talk to Reggie, who's calling us from Simi Valley this morning. Hi, Reggie. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, Reggie.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Reggie.
Yeah, Reggie.
So I promised you guys a week ago that I would call in and give a fish report for our charter on the Fish and Bell. We had it last Saturday.
Right.
Right,
and unfortunately, I wasn't able to call in, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But, Yanni, you have some great... great content. I heard about you. I listen to the program every week. I go to your website all the time, look at your recipes, your YouTube channel, awesome. And like Rick was saying, you keep everything simple. I'm a decent cook. I don't consider myself a chef, but the stuff you post on there is like 100% legit and easy. So that's a huge bonus.
Thank you.
On your website, you know.
Thanks.
But for my fish report, we had 26 anglers on the Mission Bell that was captained by Captain Steve P. The guy's a legend. He's the fishiest captain I know.
No question.
We had 94 jumbo yellowtail. These aren't the rats that we've been catching all summer. These are the ones that are 15, and I even saw a few that were 30 pounds on the deck. We got 7 bluefin, and we got 25 bonito. That was for 26 anglers.
Wow.
It was fun. You could catch them any way that you wanted to. I got 6 on the surface iron. Plenty of people got them on a bait, got yo-yos, flat balls. I mean, you name it, you were able to get fish that day. But back to the reason why I wasn't able to call, I got back to the landing, and we were having dinner at Mitch's, and I get a call from my sister that my dad was in the hospital and that I need to go immediately to go be with him. And my dad's a regular listener to the show. He loves fishing. He's the guy that got me and my brother into fishing. And I lost my dad this past Wednesday, so
I'm sorry, buddy.
It was a pretty tough week, but you know, if my dad was still here, he would be listening to the program right now. Die hard fisherman, we're carrying on the legacy of my dad, and rest in peace, pops. And I really, really appreciate you guys. Let me talk. I know I'm kind of rambling here, but
that's all right, Reggie. Program, well, hey, thank you, and very sorry for the loss of your dad, and. He'd want you to continue and get back on the Mission Bell and go fishing, right?
His memories are going to live on.
No doubt.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is not funny, but ironic, was like he handed me my first fish to catch as like a toddler, right? So my dad had never caught a yellowtail, and he was like on one of my chargers that I have, and he didn't catch a yellowtail all day. I was like, all right, Dad, let's go to the back of the boat, and we're going to fish bait. Because typically I fish lures. That's just me. That's who I am. And I cast it out, and I hooked up to a yellowtail, handed over to my dad, and that was the last fish he ever caught. It was his first yellowtail.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Wow.
Great story,
buddy. Well, good story, Reggie, and thanks for sharing that with us. And, again, we're sorry for your loss. Appreciate the call this morning.
All right, let's jump right back into the phones. We're going to talk to Cliff. He's calling us from Lakewood this morning. Good morning, Cliff. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Yanni, my favorite recipe is your rockfish soup. I love it. And at the end, when you hear, what's that noise? It's that garlic bread. Now I'm the garlic bread maker in the house. That garlic bread is awesome.
That's
funny. Yanni garlic bread, huh?
Oh, my God.
Have to check that out.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Wow.
Hey, I have a question about your sweet potatoes. I grow a little bit of garden in my backyard here, and I've never grown the sweet potatoes. This is the first year. But do you have to cure them when you harvest them, or how do you harvest your sweet potatoes?
You know what? I'm just getting ready to harvest my new batch right now, and the reason I know that they're ready to be harvested is because they're starting to flower. So with potatoes, once they start to flower, then you know it's time to dig them up out of the ground.
Oh.
You just simply dig them up out of the ground, take a brush, don't use water, take a brush and brush off that dirt, and put them in a nice, dark, cool place and let them dry off for a day or two, and they are ready to eat.
Okay. No other preparation.
No. But don't wet them, and don't wet the skin, and put them someplace where the fungus will start to grow on them. That's why you want to keep them dry. Use a dry brush, brush off that dirt, and then right before you want to eat them, that's when you wet them and clean them.
Okay. Don't wash them beforehand.
See, that's absolutely such good info. I would have thought that's gardening, first thing I would have done is wash that thing off,
yeah.
You know, dry it up, and put it away. Like, that's such good info, Yanni.
Right.
All right. Appreciate the call, Cliff. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Cliff.
That does free up 877-792-1090, open right now.
Also, 858-457-1090. It's been a very busy morning and a great chance for you to get through. And when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots more great information from Yanni. And now that we're going into break, I get to finish this killer plate
too.
Of food. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
This is Rick Jensen with Sport Fishing Financial. I think most of you get that I'm a fisherman and work with the fishing community. But to understand exactly what Sport Fishing Financial does, ask yourself these four questions. First, do you really know how much money you'll need in order to retire comfortably? Next, do you know how much you'll have to save on a regular basis to reach that number? Do you have a process that includes a proven investment strategy and confidence that the money you save will grow? Last, do you have a plan for how to turn your savings into retirement income? If you don't have good answers to these questions, you're not alone, but you should, and I can make sure you do. In addition, if you own a business and currently provide or are planning on providing a retirement savings plan for yourself or your employees, we should really talk. We offer an outstanding variety of creative solutions that are sure to meet your needs.
Some of our listeners may feel overwhelmed. Others may believe they are already doing the best they can. In either case, I bet Rick can help. Set a time to meet with him and start planning for your personal or business investment success. Find Rick on the web at sportfishingfinancial.com or give him a call at 949-481-1807. Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now 19 stores and more to come throughout Southern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing, and it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
Saturday, November 4th, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, our largest sale ever. Seminars by saltwater experts, incredible deals on tackle, over 20 tackle manufacturers like Shimano, with great products like Talica, Tranx, Trinidad A, and Terramar. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 4th. Check saltwatertackle.com.
Cast Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. For over 20 years, Cast Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips. Whether it's a fishing trip, a family vacation, or an adventure, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cast Tours at 800-593-6510 or check casttours.com.
XEPRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. I need about two more spots, man. I got like two more bites, and I'm not ready to give up on this.
Oh, really? There's more. There's more.
I highly encourage you to go to that. Yes. And that's the latest recipe, right, at fishermansbelly.com.
It's called Crudo Ceviche Tostada.
And it's good for any kind of fish, really, right?
You bet.
This was wahoo. You could do it with yellowtail. You could do it with rockfish. You could do it with bonita.
Right.
You could do it with anything, right?
You can certainly do it with anything.
Yeah.
And I encourage people to use their frozen fish. And I also encourage people, before they eat raw fish, to freeze their fish at least 7 days to make sure you're getting rid of parasites.
Okay.
Never a problem with tuna. Don't worry about your tuna. Tuna don't get parasites. But all those other fish, the halibut, certainly yellowtail, rockfish, parasites are a problem. Freeze your fish for 7 days before you eat it raw.
Good call.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yellowtail, for sure. Hard to believe that they do have, but they do have parasites.
You bet they do.
So does wahoo.
The fish we're eating is probably the most parasitic-ridden fish in the ocean. You know,
wahoo have
tremendous amounts of parasites, but properly
when you
handled,
freeze them,
it's my favorite.
It's just it's new protein.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Indeed. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the phones. You want to get through 877-792-1090.
All right. How about this time we talk to Kenny? He's calling us from Hawaiian Gardens. Good morning, Kenny. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi, Kenny.
Good morning, Kenny.
Hey, Yanni. You might remember me from Long Beach Fred Hall show. I had my wife and daughters and granddaughter and new grandson. We were talking about collars.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Oh,
I kind of remember
fish
that.
Fish collars.
Yeah, great.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks, you know, for all the knowledge. I've made some really great ceviche out of some rockfish, one of your recipes. I have one of your stickers on my refrigerator.
Oh, no way, Kenny. Yeah. Wow, yeah. I got goosebumps. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the family, we all go to the show, you know, the show every year, and we use that spot as our meeting spot because we all split up and stuff. But, yeah, I just want to say thanks, you know, and thanks to Gary and Scott and everybody else, too. It just makes this whole show just that much better.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Thanks, Kenny. Yeah. You know, that makes me feel great that I can help you figure out new ways of cooking your fish or enjoying your fish.
Now, are you going to be a part of the Fred Hall show this year again?
You bet I am.
Okay,
I'm so
good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So looking forward to it.
I mean, cooking, as Bart, you know, can tell, Bart's a big chef, you know. And,
yeah.
And he likes that cooking. And so, you know, we've got Scott Lathsath and Gary in their show, and then you're going to kind of be on that same stage.
Oh,
with
you
those
know,
guys.
And it's so easy for me because here's how I feel about the fish that we catch. We are very privileged to catch fresh fish. And, I mean, most of the world, even here in America, people can't get fresh fish. They have to go to their local fishmonger to get fish. We've got fresh fish, so let's make the most out of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I love Scott Lathsath. He's a great guy. But I got to tell you, Yanni makes it so much simpler for the average guy.
That's what I love about it. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, he's not cooking rattlesnake, and he's not cooking elk and caribou and stuff like that. He's cooking fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can make, you know, for somebody special, for friends, for, you know, wife, girlfriend, whatever, you can make an awesome dish at home without, you know, you don't need to be a professional chef to bust. I mean, I'm telling you, I watched Yanni put this thing together. It's colorful, it's tasty, it's awesome, and anybody could do this recipe. Anybody.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Absolutely.
And here's the best part. When you start cooking your fish good, guess what happens? Your little woman says, please go back out there and go fishing.
Go fishing again.
She's the one kicking you out of bed at 3 o'clock saying, get your ass out of bed, go fish.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Kenny. I have a question. You know, lobster season's here. And lobster. Let's talk about prepping lobster for a second.
Sure.
And let's start from, so one of our friends, Skeet, taught me something that he learned from somebody about when you tail your lobsters. Like, I always tail my lobsters.
Same.
And I was cutting off the spines and vacuum packing them and freezing them that way. He says, well, a lot easier thing to do is to take a red cup, you know, like you'd have your cocktail
in. Yeah, a little solo Dixie cup.
And you push the tail into the cup and then fill it with water and freeze it. He says that's like a tried and true. That's all he's done for years and years. He says he's eaten tails for 2 years, and they're like you just caught it yesterday.
What?
Yes. And I did it this time with the last batch I went hooping with. And, you know, I haven't eaten any of them yet, but it was so simple. It was such a simple way to do it.
It sounds great.
It does sound great, but I got to tell you, you know, intuitively I'm thinking to myself, that's a really good idea, but why not add salt water?
Okay.
Because of the osmotic imbalance, you know, the lobster lives in salt water.
Right.
All of a sudden, you put it in fresh water, you know, there's going to be a little osmosis. There's going to be a little mass transfer from the salinity of that lobster to the salinity of the water.
Maybe just add a little salt to the water?
I would. I mean, you know, maybe this guy's doing something that I just don't understand.
Yeah.
But he
swears by it, and Skeet's a darn good fisherman.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, I haven't tried it, but I'm actually, I can't even tell you how much simpler it was, you know, when you're putting your stuff away at midnight, how much easier that was. And then to thaw and present, it was very,
because I struggle so bad, you know, with trying to store lobster without, you know, getting away from freezer crystals and things like that, because it's, you know, it's always got some moisture on it, but the keeping a seal on any type of bag, you know, those things just have spines and spikes everywhere, and it seems like no matter what I have tried, I haven't been able to find a good way of, you know, no matter how careful I think that I am, I always will go back to the bag and it's broken or it's loose or there, you know.
One of the full foolproof methods
I love that idea, by the way.
That I use, by the way, is I've got a storage freezer in my garage. I'll throw them in their hole.
Just hole?
Hole.
I'll not even tail them.
Not even tail them. Just throw them in hole. And that naturally protects them from freezer burns, from water crystallization, from exposing that meat to the wrong elements. If you've got the room, do it whole. Why not?
Okay, yeah.
And that way you can keep the rest of the body for maybe a soup stock or a lobster stock.
We
you
do
know?
That anyway. If,
yeah, you take the time out to clean the rest. When it's time to eat that lobster tail, keep that body for something.
Yeah, I know my wife Lolly loves to make lobster stock out of the heads.
Absolutely.
It works very, very well. So give us a prep for spiny lobster.
Yes.
What's Chef Yanni going to cook do with a spiny lobster?
Well, I mean, you know, cooking the lobster in the tail can be a little bit tricky because it's a little hard. If you take a whole lobster, marinate it, and put it on the grill, it can be a little difficult to get it so that you cook it just perfectly. Although the presentation is great, and I love eating my lobster tail right out of the shell, but I found through the years that it can be tricky to cook.
Yes.
Because it's hard to check for doneness. So in a lot of my lobster dishes, I'll remove the tail from the shell and then cook it that way. Now, I've got a dish on my website that's called Stuffed Greek Lobster where I remove the tail, chop it up, mix it with some vegetables and some spices, then put it back in the tail and put it in the oven and cook it that way.
Oh, okay.
So there are...
Bake it.
Yeah.
Bake it at what temperature?
Oh, I bake it at about 375 to 400 degrees, but I first parboil it.
Okay.
Okay, so whenever you parboil a lobster, you're ensuring that you're not going to overcook it, because once you parboil it, you can actually check for doneness. You know, and if you've parboiled it at just a little too much, you know your next step in your cooking process to undercook it.
Okay. So how long do you parboil?
It depends on how big your lobster is, but there's some good charts, and I've got some information on my website too, but there's some good charts out there that'll tell you if you've got a 2-pound lobster tail, you can parboil it for 4 minutes or 5 minutes. Okay. All that information is readily available. So it depends upon the size of your fish.
Okay.
So checking, you know, it's critical, especially with lobster, because we all love lobster and we work so hard to get our lobster. Yeah. But overcooking a lobster, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're going to have to immerse it in a bunch of sauce or maybe soup and disguise the fact that you screwed up and overcooked it. So that's one of the ways I stop myself.
Parboil, start to parboil, and then just real quickly finish.
Right. And then if I'm going to cook it in the actual tail itself and not extract it from the tail, I am not walking away from that grill. I'm not walking away from that frying pan. I'm constantly checking. So at the moment that it's completely cooked and it goes opaque in the middle, in the thickest part, I'm taking it off the fire.
Yeah. Okay. How do you know it's going opaque in the middle?
You get creative. You get a small little paring knife, and you make a small slit, and you start spreading it apart during the cooking process. And you're looking. Get your magic glasses on if you're my age.
Yeah.
And you're looking in the center to look for doneness.
Indeed.
It's not guesswork. You've got to be on top of it.
Got to be on top.
That's great.
With any fish, right?
Yeah. You bet, yeah.
All right, let's jump into the phones, Rick.
Okay, how about Francisco calling us from Anaheim this morning? Good morning, Francisco.
Hey,
welcome
Francisco.
To Let's Talk Cook-Up.
Oh, good morning. Rick.
What's up, Francisco?
Good morning, Francisco.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to give a tip about making the ceviche.
Oh, awesome.
I love to hear a try from Nayarit. They call aguachile.
Love aguachile. Go ahead, Francisco.
Okay. The first of all is the original ceviche is made of shrimp.
You bet.
And then from there soak it with lime. You squeeze like 8 limes. Just put the juice, and then you put the pepper. They put a brown onion, the pepper onion, and then you put cucumbers, and then from there the cilantro, and then you mix it together. It's up to you if you want to put like jalapeno too.
Sure.
You chop it really good, and then you mix it together. And then with a nice Corona.
Oh, yeah.
Francisco,
ceviche, love it.
I've got a question for you, Francisco, because I'm familiar with the recipe and I've eaten it. I absolutely love it. Do you boil your shrimp first or do you put your shrimp raw in the citrus juice?
Good question.
What I do, I peel the skin of the shrimp and I let it soak like for half an hour. Once it turns red, then it's good. And then you mix everything together, and then you stir with a spoon.
Wow.
And then from there, you can put hot pepper and everything.
Wow. There's another idea for lobster, too, right?
You bet. Oh,
lobster ceviche?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great idea. You know, Francisco, I love talking to people like you about recipes that they've grown up with. Because I grew up with very traditional cooking, and I love to learn about other cuisines and their traditional ways of making their food.
And, I mean, let's face
it.
There are much things better in life than some fresh shrimp ceviche with a nice cold Corona.
I mean, absolutely.
Just count me in.
Hey, thanks, Francisco. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, amigo.
Morning.
All right. How about next up, we talk to Don. Don's calling us from Dana Point. Hi, Don. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, Rick, Pete, Yanni. I had a question for Yanni about
Don.
Defrosting vacuum pack fish. I have a new Stuvet. I don't hope I pronounced that right, machine.
Sure.
And when I vacuum pack my fish, I make sure it's, you know, pat dry so it's not moisture in it. Is that a good way to defrost it? Because you said in a sink, trickling water in. I was wondering if I ran the Sous-Vide at 78, you know, or a certain temperature, if that would be a good way to do it.
Well, you know, taking your vacuum-packed fish and immersing it in a tub of water with a faucet on just to a trickle, that's a super convenient way of defrosting your fish very quickly. I mean, you know, you can go to a microwave and try and defrost whatever it is quickly, but I don't like doing that. Or you can do it the night before. But, yeah, immersing it in a tub of water is a surefire way of defrosting whatever it is very quickly.
Yeah, but if it's slightly warmed from a Sous-Vide, would that cook the fish or would it be okay?
Well, I'm not sure I understand
the
question.
He says, 78 degrees.
No, I can set my Sous-Vide down to as low as 60 degrees. Oh, it circulates water.
Oh, you're using your Sous-Vide to defrost?
My question is, can I use it, and what would you recommend to do that?
You know what? Personally, and I'm familiar with Sous-Vide and how that works, and it's yummy. Why go to the hassle of doing that when you can just immerse your fish in a tub of water with a faucet barely tricking? You know, leave your Sous-Vide machine to do the work it's designed to do. I mean, if it was me and I had a Sous-Vide apparatus, I still would just immerse it in a tub of water. I mean, you can, you know, it might be a little bit warmer at 78 degrees. I mean, your tap water is certainly not 78 degrees. It's probably more like 64, 65. So you're going to be dealing with a little warmer water, so that means things are going to thaw out a little more quickly. But, you know, it's up to you. If you want to go to that time and effort to do that, yeah, there's no problem.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Good idea, though.
Yeah, Randy in Costa Mesa, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Randy.
Good morning, Randy.
Hey, good morning, Yanni. I got a question regarding one of the recipes on your website.
Okay.
So I'm looking at tasty or crispy fish tacos.
Oh,
and
you lucky duck.
It looks absolutely killer.
Good for you.
My question is, can I prep everything? I'm going to make some rockfish tacos tonight. Can I prep everything and have the fish inside of the taco shell and then take it to where we're going to eat it and just deep fry it there?
There's a couple of problems with that. Putting your fish in your taco shell, even if you keep it in a cooler with ice, that fish is going to start softening up that taco shell. And you really don't want that.
Like when you plated this dish, the ceviche, you did it right here.
And that crispy taco recipe, what I do is I first warm up my taco shells, and I do that right on the stovetop, right? And then I take my fish, and I put them inside the taco shell, and I use toothpicks to button it up, and then it goes right into the deep fryer or in your pan. If I was to take my fish, I warm up my taco shells first, take my fish, put it in the taco shells, button it up with a toothpick, and then put it in a cooler and transport it somewhere, that fish is going to make that taco shell get warm, or not warm, wet, and that taco shell might fall apart on you.
Oh. Okay.
So I definitely wouldn't do that. There's not much, if you can convince whoever you're going to, the guest that you're going, if you can convince them that you need a little bit of space in their kitchen, and you can get there with your parts, warm up the tortilla shells right then and there, put your fish in, put the toothpicks on, and then start frying them, I think you're going to be a lot better off.
Better off. All right, good. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Is there can you tell on your website or your YouTube which is the favorite recipe? Is there one recipe that people just go back to over and over and over again?
Well, so far my most seen recipe is my whole trout. It's called campground trout. So I guess a lot of people are into cooking whole fish and maybe going trout fishing and cooking that whole fish right on the campground.
Classic recipe, and I can believe it, but I just wouldn't have thought it was other saltwater things. You know,
that's my number one recipe so far. It's pretty amazing.
And how many recipes do you have at fishermansbelly.com or on your YouTube channel?
I'm closing in on 100 right now.
100 recipes.
That's cool.
Yeah, and my goal is to come up with 1,000.
Wow, that's a big goal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's a lot of days of fishing in front of you.
Yeah, like no kidding.
I like your style.
Let's try and sneak in another call, Rick.
You got it. How about we talk to Oliver calling us from Temecula this morning. Hi, Oliver. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, Oliver.
You guys hear me all right?
Loud and clear.
Okay, awesome. Question is for Yanni. So I was out on the Daily Double yesterday, and I got some bonita. And so I filleted it and everything yesterday. But I'm curious if it's okay day old to still make ceviche out of.
Absolutely. As long as you kept it in a refrigerator and your refrigerator is working fine, in other words, things are at 40 degrees and colder, then you'll be absolutely fine. Yeah, there's no problem at all. The danger zone for any fish, besides we were talking earlier about parasites, the other danger is bacteria. And bacteria will grow on your fish at temperatures between 40 degrees and 140 degrees. So if you've got your fish sitting out at those temperatures for approximately 4 hours, your bacteria levels are way too high for you to eat. If you've got a good refrigerator and you're keeping your fish in the bottom part of your refrigerator and wrapped up with paper towels, you should have no problem at all.
All right, very good. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going three-quarter day fishing. They might even catch a little bit of fish to add to the Fisherman's Belly recipe themselves. We're giving away that trip on the San Diego and more with Yanni. When we return, it's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Rock Cod Rick here for West Coast Marine and Parker Boats. You see them all over Southern California waters. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore islands. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all size fishing in the same area as the sporties. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. Of all the boats out there, my boat partner and I chose to get a brand new 25 Parker center console from Kevin Kelly and the gang at West Coast Marine, and I could not be happier. Wow, what a fishing machine. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt. But that's why so many 4 and 6 pack charters choose to operate Parkers. We thank the guys at Pinnacle Sport Fishing, Season Sport Fishing, One Man Charters, Black and Blue Sport Fishing for their confidence in Parker boats. Take it from me, if you are ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check out their inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring Fall Sales event is back. For a limited time, new 90 to 300 horsepower four-strokes include 6 years of limited warranty protection. And new 2.5 to 75 horsepower four-strokes get you up to $750 in dealer credit. Reliability starts here. Yamaha. Offer ends November 21st, 2017. Subject to change at any time. Other restrictions and conditions apply. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. This promotion cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Saturday, November 4th, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Our largest sale ever. Seminars by saltwater experts, incredible deals on tackle. Over 20 tackle manufacturers like Costa, building high-quality polarized eyewear for serious saltwater anglers. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 4th. Check saltwatertackle.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the big winner going three-quarter day fishing on the San Diego is Kenny in Hawaiian Gardens. Kenny, congratulations. You are going to love fishing on the San Diego. Nobody does it better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And really a fantastic opportunity to go fishing and really a fantastic opportunity to learn so much about fish and cooking and from a fisherman himself, Yanni from fishermansbelly.com. Yanni, again, thank you very much. Delicious recipes, and thanks for all your participation on our Let's Talk Hookup Angler's Table section and all the different things you do for anglers out there to learn to cook fish properly.
Well,
so cool, Yanni.
Oh, thanks, you guys. Thanks. It's absolutely my pleasure. But don't tell me time is running out.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did.
So if somebody wants more information on Fisherman's Belly, how do we do that?
If someone wants more information on Fisherman's Belly, you can go to my website, fishermansbelly.com, and you can communicate with me through one of my videos. On the bottom portion there, there's a comment section. Or you can go to my YouTube channel, which is Fisherman's Belly Channel, and I encourage all of you guys, please go to my channel and subscribe. We need to get our subscription count up to at least 1,000 so that I can get certified on YouTube and start making a little bit of money on YouTube.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You actually
make a little money off of all this effort you're putting in here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be
so
good.
You guys, if you guys are enjoying our recipes, please go to YouTube channel, which is Fisherman's Belly Channel, and subscribe to that channel. And go to my channel, and you can comment on my videos, and I check my comments almost every day, and I'll get back with you as soon as I can. We're also on Facebook.com,
okay.
And we've got a thing going on Facebook called hashtag FishQ. So if you've got any fish cooking questions, go to the Facebook page and write hashtag FishQ, write out your question, and then not only I will get in there and answer your question, but there's a lot of other people with a lot of experience that will also answer your question and tell you about what they do.
Fantastic. Great. Thanks, Yanni. Appreciate that, Maria. Thank you very much for coming, too. And thank you for listening this weekend. Great weekend of shows next weekend. And in addition to this weekend, Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle will be here in the Mighty 1090 studios next Saturday talking about tackle days and tackle and more. And then next Sunday, Pete and Mike from Kussler Yachts will be in here talking fishing and boats and all that good stuff. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Adam on the other side of the glass and all his work for our archives page on letstalkhookup.com. And thank you for listening to Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sports fishing voice on the Mighty 1090.